are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Welcome everyone to church today. It's so great, and we have the opportunity to really hear from God this morning about what Jesus is saying to us. And what I want to do is speak from 1 Corinthians today. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you open them up to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to give you the opportunity and the time to actually get your phone out or your Bible out and open it up. So why don't you do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, while you're doing that, the church of Corinth, or Corinth as a place in the ancient world, was a major port city. It was a big city. There were lots of temples there to Greek and Roman gods. It was a big economic center. And Paul, who wrote this letter to the Corinthians, strategically went there as a missionary to share the good news of the gospel. He wanted to establish, and he did establish, a church community there. And then he moved on after about 18 months to various different cities to start other churches. And while he was there starting these other churches, he heard some reports about this church in Corinth. And some of the things that they were doing, he was like, man, I just need to write these letters to correct a couple of things that they've maybe lost when I first did his teaching. So that's what happened, and that's where we're at when it comes to the church of Corinth. So I've titled this message, before we read that today, Milk or Meat? Milk or Meat? Beautiful cut of steak up there. So let's read from chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read right through to verse 13. And this passage you would have heard many times, I'm sure, at a wedding or in church. It is a beautiful passage. Just allow God's word to flow over you today. Let's read it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest is love. Isn't that an amazing passage of scripture? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can come today as many different people from many different backgrounds with many different things going on in our lives. And we can come and meet with you, our loving God. We just pray that this word would just flow through me today, your words will just impact our hearts, that we would leave this place changed and continuing to be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am currently at the ripe old age of 34. 34. I've had 34 years to grow up. And while I think I've done that in a lot of areas, I often hear my wife talk about that child that she married. That child. We have three kids. Cass actually has four kids, me being the fourth kid. And just some of the things that I enjoy doing, for example, for brekkie, we were talking about brekkie with some friends the other day. I enjoy Fruit Loops for breakfast. I do. Are we any Fruit Loop lovers? The kids, yes. A couple of adults, yes, good. Yeah, bring on some Fruit Loops. I enjoy playing video games. That's, yes, I enjoy that. Sometimes I just can't sit still. I just don't know what to do myself. And for me, the ultimate version of a holiday is just theme parks the whole time. I will go and on as many roller coasters as I can. Pastor Nick spoke a message a couple of Sunday nights ago on being childlike. It was a great message. Get the podcast if you didn't hear it. And Jesus uses this very terminology of being childlike in the book of Matthew. And he's not talking about becoming a child. He's talking about being childlike. And there were three things that she highlighted, and I hope you'll write them down today. If you've got your phone or you've got something that you can write it on, write these down because it helps us to remember. Number one, she said, what Jesus is asking us to be in when it comes to childlike is trusting. Like a child is trusting of their parents is the way we need to be towards God. They are determined and they are persistent. She used the example of a child that is learning, is just crawling, and they want to learn to crawl upstairs. And there's nothing you can do to stop them. They just continue to crawl up these stairs. They are determined like that. And innocent. There is an innocence when it comes to children. And this one was a really interesting one because it's a purity in that innocence, a purity to our relationship with God, not purity in a sin sense, but purity that is based around this love that we have just read about. And there's this difference that I want to look at today between what Nick talked about being childlike and what we hear about in the Bible when it comes to being childish, because they're two similar words but with very different meanings, childlike and childish. So let's look at verse 11 again. Thanks, Anna. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And if we think about our culture today, it can be quite blurry as to when this change actually occurs from someone going from a child to actually becoming an adult. Our Western culture perhaps is different than a lot of others, and we maybe don't demand the same sort of responsibility or the same level of responsibility as early as others do. Is it when you get your first job, perhaps? Is that when you become an adult? Or is it when you finish school around the age of 18? Is it when you move out of home? Is that really when it is to be an adult? Or when you get married? On social media, I heard someone talking about this the other day. You sometimes might see the hashtag. I was going to explain hashtag, but it doesn't matter. Hashtag adulting as like something that we are doing now. You know, whether it's like, oh, I had a big day at work. I worked 8 hours today. Oh, adulting. Or I paid my car registration. Adulting. Or I like this one. I made my own bed this morning. Oh, adulting. I'm sure there's some adults here who still might not do that, but that's okay. But if we're honest, we can do a lot of adult things, but still be acting childish. Am I right? Paul, a number of times in this book of Corinthians, asks the people to grow up. They were doing a lot of good things, but he was asking them to grow up. We're talking about a city that is thriving. It is wealthy. It is wise. They are successful. Yet he's still telling everyone to grow up. In what way, we ask? So today, I want us to look at our own walk with God. Think about it as individuals and yourself, your own walk. God is interested in seeing and helping you grow. Yes, in your knowledge of him, but also in love and in closeness to his son. He is interested in you. So again, I encourage you to write these things down today. I've got 3 points that I want to talk about when it comes to this tension between childlike and childish. Number one, time doesn't guarantee progress. Age alone isn't the determining factor when it comes to us breaking out of some of the childish things that we are a part of. Growth when it comes to our relationship with God, we know it's not automatic. It doesn't just happen. Am I right? Do you know what I mean? It's just not automatic. One of those amazing principles in the Word of God is that of seed time and harvest. You plant a seed, then you wait, and then you reap a harvest. Cass, my wife, loves to potter around in the garden at home. She's just planted her veggies. I don't know if that's the right time or not, but who cares? The sun's shining and it's working. So she plants the veggies. And kids, have any of you guys got a veggie patch at home? Has anyone got a veggie patch at home? Yeah, a couple of veggies. Great. What are you growing? Yell it out. What are you growing at the moment? Beetroots. Oh, beetroot fans. What else? Strawberries. Oh, I'm a fan. Fruit Loops. No, they don't grow in the ground, do they? They grow in the factory. lots of things. So she loves it. And how do you grow veggies? How do you do it? I mean, you go to Bunnings and you buy a plant, but that's not what I'm talking about. You put a seed in the ground and then you wait. And then what happens? You need something else. Yeah, you eat it, but something else happens in between. You have to actually go out with a watering can or a hose and water that sucker if it's not raining. You actually need to hope and pray that there is sun that can come and give this plant the fuel that it needs to continue to grow. Seed time and harvest is not just plant the seed, wait, and then all of a sudden we eat the fruit. There is so much more that happens. And as we enter into a relationship with God and accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there is the water and the sunlight that needs to happen with us as we continue to grow, if you know what I'm saying. The seed planted in the right soil, watered and given sunlight, will grow and bear fruit. So it's not just the time that leads to progress. It's what's done with that time that leads to progress. It's what's done. So if you want something to grow, you need to give it the correct intake. So point number two, choose the correct food. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 to 3 says this, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." What Peter is writing about here is the necessity as we step into this relationship with Christ to put aside these things that are hurtful to others around us, and just as babies do, rely on the pure word of God, the pure gospel for growth. See, the correct food is absolutely necessary for us all to grow. And remember, we're talking about our relationship with God here. Absolutely necessary for to have the correct food. Now, our little five-week-old baby Roman, who is up there doing exactly what he's feeding at the moment, he's getting his milk, and every 3 hours he has to feed. And if he doesn't, then he cries. And it's awesome. But feeding is guaranteed to calm him down, so thankful to my wife for that. Now, I've got some photos. You're going to, like, go on, Anna, go on. This is not Roman, by the way. That's not Roman. That's just a random child. Sorry about that. But it's still cute. This is what it's like to be, like, we call it milk drunk. They're just like, they have this milk and they're just like, oh, I've had so much milk. Go to the next one. The parents, mum and dad's remembering. Yeah, those were the days. Just loving life. And the last one. Oh, isn't it lovely? It was amazing when Roman was first born that his first instinct was to feed. And Cass's body is just, it just does it. It was amazing. I don't know how we can go through, or how doctors and midwives can go through the process of seeing birth happen and not think, oh my gosh, like, this is created, God has created this. This is amazing. The way the body works and the way babies are born is just incredible. There is a specific purpose for this milk that they get, or this formula that they get, that the baby is given when they are first born. It contains the perfect mix of vitamins, proteins, and fat to help the baby grow. It's amazing. It also contains antibodies to keep the baby, to help the baby fight off bacteria and viruses. Roman is getting chubby. He's knocking back a lot of milk at the moment, and it's a great thing because that's what he needs to do. He needs to just continue to grow on this milk. His purpose in life right now is to sleep, to poop, and to drink milk. That is his purpose. Anything else is a bonus. And just like us, when we are new to the faith, and some of you here might be new to the faith, and it is so exciting, it's so great, but we need to be on the milk exclusively at that point. The pure gospel of Jesus Christ, who came to earth for you and I to wash away our sins, have communion. Man, that's like, you know, I was going to say, imagine like drinking the milk, but that it's not because it's the blood of Jesus. But anyway, that gospel is the pure milk of the word of God. And if you're in this space where you are new to this faith and milk is what you need, then my encouragement to you is just like a baby when it needs milk, it is close to its mother. Just continue to get closer to your Father God. Continue to get closer to Him, whether it be through worship music, whether it be to come and hear to church or whatever it is, just continue to get closer to God. But at some point, they need to change. At some point, Roman is going to grow up and he's not going to want this milk anymore. He may want it, but we're not going to give it to him. Eventually, he will not be exclusively on milk, and we will introduce these new and wonderful foods to him, like pumpkin, which seems to come out straight away. Maybe some banana at some point. Delicious. One day he may even have Fruit Loops. But not now. Not now. His body and his insides are far too immature to be able to digest and take this food in, this solid food. It would actually hurt him now more than it would help him. But the time will come where he'll benefit from slowly entering into this solid food diet. And this is the calling for every single one of us. God did not give us his word so that we could all remain babies in Christ for the rest of our days. Yes, we need to remain childlike, absolutely, like we talked about earlier, but not childish in our thoughts and actions. There are two scriptures here I want us to look at, one from Hebrews, the other one from Paul's letter to the Corinthians earlier on in that letter. And we're going to start with that. So if you've got your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians again, if you're still back there. Turn to chapter number 3. I've got it for you, but if you've got it, then great. Chapter number 3. I'm reading out a New King James version today. It says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able." Paul's explaining to them here, look, I know what it's like when you first become a believer. Your body is craving the milk and that's what you need to receive. But after time, you must move on to solid food. The people of Corinth, remember, they were doing a lot of great things in their city. They were doing a lot of things well. However, great things from man's perspective on the outside, they never compare to the great things that God is doing on the inside. They just don't. They can be great, what we're doing on the outside. But what God has done on the inside of every one of us here, it just does not compare. It is so amazing. So let's be a people that are prioritizing what God is doing on the inside before we're worrying about what is going on the outside. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. You don't need to turn there. We'll just read this one. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." In this passage, the writer of Hebrews is writing to the followers of Jesus, saying that according to the time that they had been followers of Christ, they just weren't showing them how mature they should be. It was proof by the way they were living and understanding the scripture and failing to discern the difference between good and evil. They were showing their immaturity. Solid food. Verse 14, it says, we'll read it again. "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." If we look at what milk does for a baby, its purpose is just for it to grow. See, a baby, they don't really do anything. They just lie there and demand from you, their parent. They may wave their arms around and they may look cross-eyed at you and do all these funny things, but there's no real major intent to what's going on. Yes, they're developing and yes, they're growing, but there's stuff going on that they really don't have much control over. But as we start eating solids, this is good, and putting this food into our bodies, we actually start to do something with them. Yeah? We actually start to do something. We learn to crawl. We learn to walk. We learn to run. And we eventually use our bodies to see potentially great things happen. And this is it. The solid food we put into our bodies, being the Word of God, isn't just to help us grow, because we all get to a point in our physical state where we stop growing. Well, some of us stop growing and start growing, but we stop growing at this point. So we need to continue to not just grow like that, but grow with what's going on the inside of us to give us the energy to do what God is calling us to do. The solid food gives energy to do what God is calling us to do. It's the meat. It's the solid food that the Word of God contains that actually motivates us and gives us the energy and fuel. So where do we get solid food from? Think about today. If I wanted you to go and get me a piece of steak, where would you go? To the butcher. Some would go to the butcher. Some would go to the supermarket. Some would go to the market, perhaps. These are all the places we go. But where does it really actually come from? I mean, it comes from the factory, before, but where does it really come from? The farm or the forest? Was that an answer? Where does it come from? It comes from animals, yes. Yes, just don't think about that right now. If you would talk to Aaron, Nick's husband, he would say he's an avid hunter. It would be from a hunting trip. And I think that's the attitude that we need to have when it comes to the Word of God and getting our meat, our solid food. It's not that we just go to a butcher or not that just it's so easy. It's so convenient for us to go and get a piece of meat these days. We just roll down to the shops and spend our money and get a piece of meat. But it's different when you actually go hunting for it because it requires effort. It actually does. And point number three for today, church, get good at hunting. Get good at hunting for this food. It's not when you go for a hunt, it's not just taking a gun out into the woods and going, all right, we'll see how we go. Wonder what we're going to find out here. Hunters, when they go out, they plan, they prepare, and they make sure that the equipment they take with them is going to help them achieve what they came for. I literally grew up in this church. I've been here for 34 years. I've been here a long time. And my brother and I were here every single Sunday with my parents, morning and night, and they were part of the worship team, and so we'd come early and not do much and muck around and whatever. And we would just stand on either side of the church and we'd flip the overheads for them so that everyone knew the songs that they could sing. That was just what we did. I see some nods. Oh, those overhead projectors. I remember those. Well, I was the man pulling out 112A. I've got that. Putting it in. I never got it back to front or around the wrong way. It was always how it had to be. I was always faster than my brother. Remember that? And so we were here a lot. We sat in church a lot. And although I was in church a lot, I can tell you it didn't guarantee that I would actually learn a lot. We didn't have phones back in those old days, but we did have pieces of paper and we could still play games on pieces of paper. And there was, although there was a lot of meat coming from this platform, there was a lot of meat on offer. I had a decision to make, and we all have a decision to make whether we actually take that meat, receive it, chew it up, and eat it. And as I look back on my life now and realize how much teaching I've been under and probably have missed, I'm all the more aware that if we're relying on church to be our only food source, then we're probably going to be only consuming a small amount of the food that we actually need in order to be the people that God is calling us to be. He is not the one-stop shop for all the food that you need for the week. Yeah, we can take it and we can chew it and we can continue to roll it around in our head, but there's got to be more food sources to us than just here. I spoke to Aaron about this. He is a keen hunter, as I said, about hunting. And he said that one thing that most people have is a misconception of what it actually takes to go on a hunt, from the preparation of the equipment to the fitness of your own body to be able to do what you need to do, to the point of actually bringing some meat home, it's a massive exercise. It is hard work. But he said, this is really interesting. He said the reward is not only in the outcome of bringing the meat home and being able to enjoy that, but the enjoyment is actually in the process of doing the hunt itself. And for us, my encouragement for us as a church and as individuals would be, not only is it the truth that we find and we grab out of the word, and that's really awesome, but it's the process of spending time with God and asking the Holy Spirit to help that word come alive to us that is so rewarding to us as individuals. And I think that's the attitude that we need to take when it comes to finding our own solid food. That the reward is in the process as it is in the outcome. And if you're wondering how do I go about that, I just don't know how to go on a hunt. I don't know how to source my own food. Here's a couple of just practical things that I use in my own life. The phones that we have these days are just awesome when it comes to the resources that are at our fingertips. I use an app, and if you're looking for a great Bible app, I use an app called Read Scripture. It is awesome because not only are you reading the Bible and it's got reading plans and that sort of stuff, but it's got those little videos, and I've talked about this before. It has little videos every few days that just gives you amazing context to exactly where you're reading in the Word of God. Read Scripture is called. You can search on the App Store. Podcasts. There are so many podcasts that you can get and listen to and download and get the Word of God into you. There are so many great books out there. We as a church think this is so valuable that we have taken out that subscription at Right Now Media. There are so many Bible studies on Right Now Media that you can do at home by yourself, or you can do them in a course, or even more importantly, in a life group. Life group. Life group is so great because you actually hunt for this food, you hunt for this meat in a life group, but you're not just doing it by yourself, but you're doing it with someone else as well. And there is such richness to be able to do that with someone else. So I'd encourage you, if you're not in a life group, join a life group. Talk to Chris after the service. Send him a text through the week. His number is on the back of the notice sheet, and say, Chris, I need to get in a life group. What have we got? And there's always going to be a life group for you to be able to join. It is such an important part of doing life together as a church that we attend life groups and we do this study and this hunt together. So why is it important as we close? And worship team, you guys can come up. We're going to sing at the end. Why is it important for us to watch what we eat? Why is it important for us to turn from our childish ways? Because the more we seek after God, the more we find him. The more we find him, the more we love him. The more we love him, the more we find ourselves loving others. And I think that the more we find ourselves loving others, the more we find out that love, as we read before, love is not just something that we do. Love is not just what we're trying to be lovely to someone or we're going to show them an act of love. Love is a person. Jesus, our God, is love. Its origins are in him. So why don't we just close our eyes this morning? And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you before we head off today. Maybe today you've heard this and you think, it's time to change. I need a diet change, perhaps. We go through those in life. We need to start eating healthy or not eating different things or whatever it is. Maybe there's a diet change. Maybe for some of you, you've been drinking that milk and it's been great for you. But it's time for you to enter into some solid foods. Perhaps it's time for you guys, for some people to enter into a hunt, to put a reading plan together. Perhaps it's been a challenge for you for so long, and this was me. I was challenged for so long to actually fall in love with the Word of God. I knew I should,
And I knew the Word of God was amazing, but it was just such a challenge for me to continue to get stuck into that. And I know for some people it's like, man, I love the Word and reading is my thing, and that just might not be you today. And so if you struggle with that, and if you struggle to eat that solid meat, I want to pray that today that we see breakthrough in that area of your life. That we would see just an excitement for the Word of God afresh in your life. That we would see those times where you put something into place in your life, that the discipline of getting up and reading the Word of God would be there for you. Because we know the more of God that we get into us, it's changing us on the inside, that changes us on the outside. And that is what people see in us, and that it is Christ living through us and impacting our lives. So Father God, we just don't want to know more about you. We just don't want to do more things for you. We don't want to just be better Christians. We want to be more like your Son, Jesus.